glorify God in your body. Flee immorality, verse 18. Just stay as far away from it as possible. Now, having said that, and I underline that, and I really believe that parents, that's where we should start, and that's where we should major, and in one sense, that's where we should end our instruction on purity, with this teaching regarding the vertical. And that's where the church ought to major its teaching. And that's where the Bible emphasizes. Yet having said that, the other reasons, you know, and the warnings and the implications of this sin are spelled out in the scripture.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part two of a message titled, You Shall Not Commit Adultery. And we invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Pretty good deal for Potiphar, it seems. He found a man whom God was with, and he said, I can handle this. And he just let him take charge of everything. And he had complete trust in Joseph. Now, Scripture says, and remember, Joseph was a young, healthy man. Verse 6, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. What an overt temptation. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me around, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house, and he's put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil? And it would seem that Joseph is rightfully saying, look, my master has entrusted me with everything. He's put me in a great place of privilege. He's entrusted his whole household to me. And now you're trying to tempt me. He said, how could I? He's trusted everything in me, except, of course, you, his wife. And how could I do this great evil and sin against Potiphar? But that's not what Joseph said, is it? Look at verse 9. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph understood something much deeper than even the terrible transgression sexual sin is against another. He understood that it is ultimately against God. And he was able to withstand temptation. It came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day that he didn't listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And I read that far just to point out that here was a man who knew God, who knew that sin is against God, and he refused sin. And even when he was seduced repeatedly and finally grabbed, he did not stand and fight. He fled the temptation, and God preserved him. It wasn't without much trouble and trial. And I'm not telling you that if you stand for purity and do what is right, that everything will go your way. But Joseph knew God. He knew this sin would be against God, and he fled temptation. We're going to see when we come to the New Testament. That is the strategy, by the way. Not to stand and fight it, not to gradually make progress in this area. It's to flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body. The immoral man sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? Flee immorality, he says. Don't edge up close to it. Don't do what many even Christians do in our culture, where we try to get as close to a line as we can get. No, he says, flee it. Stay far away from it. That's the advice of Scripture. So that, by the way, is the second scripture I was going to have you look at, 2 Corinthians 6. Turn to a third, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're told in Corinthians 6. To sin in this area is to sin against God. He said, don't you know? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. David, you remember the story. He He had his men out fighting his battles. He was at home in his house. And he looked on Bathsheba, and he saw her, remember, and he wanted her, and he lusted for her. And she was the wife of one of his men, one of his mighty men, Uriah, one of his loyal, close, dependable, mighty men, Uriah the Hittite. Didn't bother David, apparently. He just took her. He was king. He said, get her for me. She conceived, and he thought, oh boy, I better cover this up. So he had Uriah come in from the front, and he said, go enjoy your wife. And he figured he'd figure it was his child, Uriah would. And Uriah was too good a man for that. He said, I can't enjoy my wife when my men are out there on the front lines, and he refused. And you remember the story, it's a despicable story. When David couldn't do that, he said, okay. And he wrote some orders and sent him by the hand of Uriah back to the commander and said, go ahead and put him out on the front lines and then withdraw from him. And if he gets killed, you know, war is this way. And it worked. They did. He knew he could trust him. He knew Uriah wouldn't read the orders. He knew he was a loyal man. And so he sends him out with his own death warrant. And David compounds his sin of adultery with murder of a trusted brother. I say, what a despicable story. And if ever a man sinned against another man, it was David against Uriah. And David thought he'd covered it up. He marries Bathsheba and he thinks it's all okay. But you remember God put his finger on it through the prophet Nathan. And David finally broke before the Lord. And here in the 51st Psalm, you have his confession. And I want to just read it. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. When he realized his sin, he began to cry out to God for grace and mercy. And he said, please wash me of my iniquity. And then verse 4, against thee, thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. Doesn't that shock you to read verse 4? He says, against thee and thee only I have sinned. The sin against God so dwarfed the sin against even Uriah that David just coughed it out with despair. Against thee and thee only I have sinned. When he realized what he'd done to the Holy One of God, the Holy God, I should say, when he sinned, he said, I've sinned against thee and thee only. That's not to say he hadn't sinned against Uriah, obviously. Sexual sin is always a transgression, a defrauding of your brother. And people dream that you can do it privately or you can indulge in various sexual sins like pornography just by yourself. Men, if you're indulging in that kind of sin, you are robbing your family of spiritual leadership because whatever you think you're doing and getting away with, you're not. It's short-circuiting the power of God in your life. And people talk about prostitution, perhaps, as a victimless. Now, don't ever dream, don't ever believe Satan's lies about this thing being a sin you can commit over here in the corner. Nobody know about it. Doesn't affect anybody but you. That's not the case at all. Sin is always horizontal. But when you realize the depth of it, you realize it's vertical. And he says, against thee and thee only I have sinned. I quoted it, but I want you to look at it face to face. Turn to Corinthians 6. We need to see this one regularly. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Think of the price. Jesus Christ died for you. He rose again on your behalf. God redeemed you with the blood of the Lamb. You are not your own. You are His. Glorify God in your body. Flee immorality, verse 18. Just stay as far away from it as possible. Now, having said that, and I underline that, and I really believe that parents, that's where we should start, and that's where we should major, and in one sense, that's where we should end our instruction on purity, with this teaching regarding the vertical. And that's where the church ought to major its teaching. And that's where the Bible emphasizes. Yet having said that, the other reasons, you know, and the warnings and the implications of this sin are spelled out in the Scripture. And we are given warnings of variety of kinds. And you can see, for instance, the wreckage in David's life after he sinned and his family. And it's like just a black and white before and after. It's a sad, sad story of a life ruined, it seems, by this sin. So the Bible gives many reasons, and tonight I just want to illustrate that by turning to the book of wisdom. Turn to the book of Proverbs. And as I said, I just want Scripture to comment on Scripture. Turn to Proverbs 2. And in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and one of the reasons why, and I exhort people to read Proverbs regularly, and if you haven't ever tried, remember Proverbs has 31 chapters. And you can make it a habit, in addition to whatever else you're doing in the Bible. It's a good habit to just read a chapter of Proverbs a day. If it's the 17th of October, read Proverbs 17. You know, if it's the 30th, read the 30th. If it's the 1st, read the 1st. And you'll read through the book of wisdom, 12 times a year. Once a month, you'll be getting this. And one great benefit of doing that, you'll get wisdom in every area of life, but you'll get a lot of wisdom in this particular area, this crucial area of life. And in the book of Proverbs, sexual sin is personified. He'll speak of the seductive woman, the adulterous woman. And in one sense, he's speaking of a real person. They're out there, men and women. And that's what I would emphasize. He is personifying sexual sin. So he's not just picking on the adulterous woman versus the adulterous man. He's not just speaking that seduction comes from the female. Oh, of course not. Men are great seducers. And he's not, in fact, he's speaking of sexual sin and its seductive nature. And how we can know that it's relentless and seductive and will work every which way. So as you read Proverbs, keep that in mind. And let me just read chapter 2, verse 16. As he's giving the whole chapter, he's saying, you know, if you'll listen to me, son, then I'll bless. If you'll listen to wisdom, then you'll be preserved. And he says, stay away from certain things. And he says, I'll just pick it up in verse 16, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. Think on the implications of that. Sexual sin destroys. And though it sounds good at the beginning and looks good, it, in the end, very bitter and sad, and none who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life, he says. Turn over to chapter 5. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. Think of the advertising today. Think of the lure, the way sex is used to lure. Think of the temptation itself and how smooth and sweet it seems at the beginning. But, verse 4, in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp, cutting as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Young people, don't believe the lies of our culture. Realize that though there's a seductive sweetness to sin, in the end it destroys and cuts and And it's bitter. And so many lives, just look around today at the brokenness and the bitterness of life, and so much can be traced back to people failing to keep their sexual purity, failing to honor God in this area. Much of the instability, notice verse 6, her ways are unstable. She doesn't know it. Much of the instability in our life today, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, a biblical counselor so often finds that the instability can be traced back to this sin. Verse 7, now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Don't hang out around it. Flee immorality. Don't go near, he says, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien, and you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed. Oh yeah, the scripture says that there are physical ramifications to sin, and we're seeing them today. They tell me that in 1960, in our culture, in America, there were two venereal diseases, we used to call them in those days, VD, sexually transmitted diseases that were epidemic in nature in 1960. Today, after a generation of saying, you can do what you want, ignore God's standards, today there are 25 STDs that are epidemic. And most of them are incurable. And yet we plunge on. He says, lest you groan at your latter end. In the 1970s, one out of every 47 young people would contract one of these diseases. Today, it's one out of every four. 40% of all boys in America today live in homes without their father. I mean, you've heard the statistics. It goes on and on. The Bible warns about these things, and we should be warned that these things do have ramifications. They tell me that up to now, 375,000 Americans have died from HIV, and that's, of course, the one that gets most of the ink because it's not only incurable, it's fatal. 375,000. Put that in perspective, we lost 400,000 men in World War II. This is happening right in our midst. So the scripture does warn about these things. Verse 12, and you say, how I've hated instruction. My heart spurned reproof. I've not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and in the congregation. Don't wait till you're saying, why didn't I listen? Listen now, my son, he says. Drink water, verse 15, from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. What a culture we have today where everybody's spread themselves around every which way. I've got kids by her and her, and he's the father of that one, and he's the father of this one. And we have broken homes. And I thought, what an apt picture. Broken. Things don't work. Dysfunctional. It really is. And it's tragic to see the results. Verse 21, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. I'm tempted to read on, but I won't. Read chapter 6. Read chapter 7. Read them regularly. Let God's word, young people, remind you of these things, and ultimately remember that God calls for purity because we are his. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit fornication. Adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. Turn in closing to Corinthians 6 again. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived about this, he says. But remember, verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Even as I close, I want to underline the seriousness of this sin. But in any time we talk about these sins, and when we listen, if we honestly listen to the words of our Lord, when he said, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I say to you, if you look on a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Which one of us would not come under the condemnation? Oh, Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquity, oh, Lord, who could stand? The psalmist asks. And God does mark iniquity. Who can stand? But he goes on, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And Paul writes here, don't kid yourself. These sins, people that live in these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. And he says, you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been called out. And so I say to you tonight, if you've come to Christ, enjoy the freedom of forgiveness. Enjoy that God has washed you clean. And rejoice in him, as he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And to all of us, he would say, flee sin. You're mine. I've bought you with a price. Glorify me in your body. Father, we praise you tonight for the salvation that Jesus Christ alone provides. We praise you that you've called us out of darkness into light, that you've washed us clean from our sin, that we stand righteous in your Son. And Lord, I thank you that you've spelled out clearly your desire for our lives to bring glory to you. And I thank you, Lord, that your plan and your purpose for our lives is that we be holy vessels set apart to you. And I pray that you would keep us all in this room from sin. Oh Lord, you taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we pray that tonight, Lord. We want to be those who flee sin, not those who dabble in it or get close to it, but flee immorality. And so, Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells in us and empowers us to live lives pleasing to you. And I pray that we would be those who don't merely hear and then forget your word, but that we would be effective doers of your word. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, You Shall Not Commit Adultery, a message from our series through the book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Southwest Bible Church is excited to offer its Adventure Camp program again this summer, an all-day camp for kids in kindergarten through fifth grade. Last year, Adventure Camp was able to offer a fun and safe experience for the summer, and they're excited to do it again this year. Each week, kids can look forward to Bible teaching, outdoor activities, crafts and ceramics, cooking projects, field trips, and much more. Be sure to check out the new siblings discounts as well. Visit our website at www.adventurecampkids.org for more info and save a spot for your kids today. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
He said, love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor. Paul writes in Romans 13, verse 9. He says, you know, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus summarized the two tablets of the law with love. He said, love God and love your neighbor. Paul takes on the whole second tablet, all these horizontals, and says, you know, you can summarize the whole thing. And he says it point blank. Whether it's committing adultery, murder, stealing, coveting, if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, You Shall Not Steal. Till then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.